Alicia, I'm wondering, as you grew older, you said that you quit school in the fifth grade and that you got too big and decided that you were too big to go back.
That's right.
I'm wondering what you thought about the future, what you thought you were going to do.
Well, I didn't have no future. I never thought of nothing because I didn't even thought of marriage. I always wanted to have a good time. I still want to have a good time. I got married, Spike and my dad, he didn't want me to marry him because he was a Navy man. Years ago, a little girl couldn't walk down the street with a Navy, so when the minute the ship would come in, he'd change his clothes and come up the house of Levi's. So my dad didn't know nothing about him until after marriage. As my dad couldn't figure out how come, he only comes certain times of the year. Well, he couldn't come all the time because the ship had gone. So one day, I was in the show with all my brothers, and this girlfriend of mine went over to Kenningsworth. There was the only telephone was in Hawaiian Garden. She called the show down and said, Alicia, says, guess who's in? I said, no. He said, he's waiting for you. I said, who? He said, your boyfriend, the ship just got in. I said, oh, boy. She said, I'll tell you what I do. I'm going to tell them, I'll tell your brothers that they want you home. And you go meet them, and I'll bring them back. Well, these bunch of girls left me down there. Long Beach.
Left you in downtown Long Beach?
Yeah, well, they stayed it. So this boy says, no. My husband, which is my husband, he says, now I got it. I have to. One of those girls that I don't know, I said, well, I'll walk home with you. So he walked home with me. From La Pike, we walked all the way. He said, how far? Oh, just another mile. How far? Another mile. We crossed fields and everything. When I got home, my dad said, looked at me, he says, and who is he? I said, well, if I tell you, I said, you have to tell me. But how about loaning me your mother to take him back? My dad said, take who back? I said, Frankie. He said, how come? And I said, well, I guess you might as well confess to you. I said, he's a Navy man. I have to take him back to the boy's ship. He could have killed me that night. He didn't say nothing. I'll fix you up when you get back. He loaned me the car. That's how I learned how to drive it. I took him to Long Beach. He got the ship. And that was the last time I saw him.
How old were you then?
I was about 15 years old. I was going to marry that boy. He had given me engagement, and he was killed in Pearl Harbor. Mm. And that's when he left, and he said, you see that thing over there? He said, that's going to take me. He's going to bring me back. He's going to run back. Mm. And my jewelry that they stole, that diamond ring that he gave me, they stole, I kept it for a souvenir. And I still got his pictures and everything. I was engaged to him. My folks didn't know I was engaged to him.
Was he an angel boy?
The Mexican boy. Uh-huh. And all we done was just go to Pike and dance, and they left me down there. Let's go back to the kill when I got home.
How did you meet him?
I met him at the Pike. We were playing ball. I was playing a ball. That was just a tomboy. I was my oldest brother. He says, okay, he says, you want to play the ball, so let you play here. So I'm going to go in there. They used to have if you go in there, you pay 10 cents, and you sit on it, and then that seat would disappear, and you roll down like the slime. And he says, I'm going on that. I was afraid of that one. I said, okay, I'll be right here playing those balls. I was hitting those balls. He says, come on, honey, just play the sun beside me. He says, oh, I'll show you how to hit lefty. And I just kind of met him. And then he started writing to me, and I kept on writing every time the ship would come in, where he called me. Oh, Mrs. Kenningsworth, because Mrs. Kenningsworth was the only one that had a phone. And a lot of times I had a chance to go, a lot of times I didn't. My oldest brother would take me. And he would take his girlfriend, and then he'd wait for me down the pike. He said, I'll meet you a certain time here. But my folks never knew until when I was up. Well, when he died, when he got killed, when the Navy. And my brother would once in a while say, well, your picture's out there flying in the middle of the ocean. And he used to make fun at me. And I'd always wonder whether it was true, and I'd go down the ocean and see if there were those waves that would bring my picture back. But that was my life. It was a clean life, honest life. No, you couldn't swear. You couldn't lie. But my folks, the minute he did, said, look at us straight in the eye. And if we blinked, they knew we were lying. Or if one of my brothers was saying laughing, I kind of turned around and laughed. She knew I was lying. Then I'd get punished. that we weren't supposed to lie. If we wanted to go out on weekends, we're not supposed to lie or swear. And tell us to do something, pick that thing up and do it. My mother and dad had company. Oh, my dad would look at, I got many guys like that, and I know, what's the bedroom? Get out of here. And we never asked questions. But most of the time, my dad was more like with the immigrations. So, you know, it's almost, my mother was the one that was really strict. And then my little brother, that was about, I was about 13, 14, so. My little brother decided to go and see my grandmother in San Jacinto. And we had a Model T. That Model T had a flat tire. Mm-hmm. My mother thanked Christ, says, it's 2 o'clock and your dad be coming home and that kid isn't home. I said, well, I said, you want a tackle with me? She says, well, what? I said, we can take the horses or take the Model T. My mother said, well, the Model T will get us there faster. I said, okay, we're going to go. And she says, well, that thing's out there. We're going to go. And I got in that Model T. That's that night I had learned how to drive that Model T. And I took my mother to Bellflower, to where that boy's mother lived, and he used to be a dairy boy. And we went in the ranch there and asked him where. My mother says, you tell him, now, you, because my mother never spoke English. He says, you ask the lady if your brother's here. And then the lady said, no, you tell your mother that your brother went with my son to see your brother. And my mother said, uh-oh. And we came home. We beat that mama to thank the lady. We came home. And my dad came and said, well, everybody's up tonight. They said, well, might as well confess to you. That kid went to see your mother and he hadn't showed up yet. That's when we all got it. My dad bawled my mother out and we all got a whip. Just because that brother went without his permission. So we had to have permission from the both of them before we done anything. So we always try to manage to tell Dad before he left any place what we want to do. And he looked at my mom and says, if they behave, you know, the rules, that's all. But we never fought. Or when we sat in the table, my dad was sitting in front of my mom's mother over there. And when Dad was home, Dad would do the serving. And we'd eat whatever we had. And we couldn't whisper or anything. We had to have our hands down on the table. Behaved like a regular, showed us manners.
Did you talk while you ate?
No. We said prayer. But we never talked. We visited after we were, my friends and my mother was sick or tired, wasn't feeling good. Sis, because my dad would call me sis. How about you helping the boys with the kitchen? Well, my brothers would wash dishes or maybe wipe the tape or something, but they never let me do anything. Mm. My brothers would chip in and do it for me.
Why was that?
Well, my older sister got married when she was young. So I was always home. And there was, I don't know, maybe because I was too close to them. And so I wouldn't get in trouble, I guess. So I could go with them, they'd do everything so we can always go together. Because if one of them done something, none of us could go. So we always managed to get along. And a lot of times they want to go someplace, we'd work real hard, extra hard. Like for instance me now, I'd go outside and try to sweep out, because years ago you had to sweep everything outside and sprinkle water and keep the flies away. But I always try to manage to do that, so. Have the yard nice and clean. You never see no cans or bottles thrown around. And try to be clean. My mother would always look at my fingernails. My mother and my dad were very strict with us. Me and my aunts with our kids. They were real strict.
Even when he wasn't home?
He'd give orders. He'd leave orders before he left. And if we were in school, he'd leave a little note. Mm-hmm. And we had to follow that. But I'm not sorry, because I can get along with anybody. I worked at Dudley's with the same foreman and the same assistant foreman, and every time those foremen had moved on, they took me with them. So you know I got along with the people.
Did your mother speak English?
No. You know, I tell you what. My dad, years ago, a man was the head of the house. My dad done all the writing, all the shopping, everything. I mean, I never handled money. If he wanted to write to Mexico, to his father, my dad would write to my dad, spoke English and Spanish. Write to Mexico for my mother, or any business that dad would do. A woman never did have no voice years ago. They had to just, I used to tell my mother she was a regular maid when I started getting bigger. Well, I got a whipper for that, for saying that. But it is, and you know, they never had a voice. They had to have the house clean, the food ready for them whenever they came to eat, baked bread, and had everything just so. My dad was very clean. Even my aunts, my uncles, they were real clean. The boys had to wash the troughs for the horses so it wouldn't get green around the water. And once in a while we'd find a little fish and we'd bring it and put them in a trough. We'd keep cleaning that trough to see that little fish going in the water, and they were very clean. Years ago, you never seen any garbage in the road or anything. Or if we saw a piece of paper and we walked by there and that paper wasn't picked up, my dad would say, come here, what's that? You make us pick that paper. Well, I didn't do it. I didn't ask you who done it. They were strict and clean. My mother would wash, there'd be all of us boys. My mother would put all the clothes on top of the table, wooden table. The boys would get their shirts or underwear and they'd fold it and fold their pants. I'd get my clothes and I'd fold them. Fold the towels. My mother would iron the sheets and iron the pillowcases.
I just wondered, I asked you that because you said that you children weren't allowed to speak Spanish at home, that you had to speak English.
Well, see, my dad, when my dad was home, we had to speak English, regardless when my mother was there. That's the reason my mother never spoke English, because when she started trying, he started making fun of her. So that stopped. He said, from now on, you kids, that's that. But when my dad was gone, my mother would speak to us. But then she tried awful hard not to ask questions in Spanish or say anything much. Like, say, when we had something for dinner, she said, dinner's ready in Spanish or something like that. But us boys and girls, we had to talk English. That was a strip that was orders from my dad. Only when my mother spoke, did we dance with her. If we didn't say the correct word, well, she correct us. But home was all English.
Could you still speak Spanish as well?
I can speak Spanish, but not too good. I can make them understand, but I can't carry a real long conversation. Or if I go come with somebody that they know more than I do, I always keep quiet because I know I can't speak like they can. Now, my dad spoke different Spanish than Mexico. See, my dad was a Spaniard. In Mexico, they speak Spanish, but it's Indian. So my mother spoke a lot different than my dad. So that's the reason why we didn't speak English, Spanish at home. Even the kids when we were outside, we were all speaking English. And my cousins, their father were very strict too, but even though my dad, when he was there, would say, you kids speak English, because you've got to go to school someday. And that way you won't know what the teacher's telling you, which was true because the teacher never spoke Spanish.
Was education real important to him?
Oh, yes. My dad had a lot of law books. They stole everything, I don't know what good they've done to him, but my dad had a lot of Christian Science books. Cost him a lot of money, a lot of law books. He had to keep up with the law for bringing the people from Mexico.
Did he ever try to encourage you to go back to school?
He did. But then, like I said, I felt like I was getting too big, and then the war broke out. So it didn't be no good for, you know, to encourage him, because the first day my brothers were all drafted. And then they was going to be drafted, and then my brother said, we're going to go volunteer. So then my little brother and this other boy that they brought from the CC camp, they said, well, if they're going, why can't we go? And my dad said, you just got home. He says, well, if you want to go. So then my dad signed him. I think it was 17 years old. My dad signed him in.
Tell me about the camps. Did your brother go and live there?
Oh, they have to live over there. It was up in Sanford, mm-hmm. up north. And they'd come home in on leaves, like if it was in the army. And they were dressed like an army outfit. A little hat and a great army pants, army shoes and shirt. And they learned how to fish. They learned how to work out and chop wood and everything. Then they had to go to school.
When did he go?
Yeah.
When did your brother go?
He was about 13 years old.
Mm-hmm. And that was instead of going to school, he went.
Well, he went to there because it was then the WPA. That's where I went to work at the school, at WPA, and there was no work. And my dad and my mother, like I said, they were sick. So that's when they asked my dad if they can go in the CC camps. He can go if there's anyone. And he looked at CC camps. That's how he made a career out of his life in the Navy. And then he got out, and then he went in the Navy, and Johnny went with him, his boy. And he's still with us, and he goes to see my mother. He went in the Navy and put the insurance in my mother's name. He said, if anything happened to me, he calls her mom. He respects the family. My dad would punish him like he punished his kids. And the both of them in the CC camps, and I didn't know when they come home. They come home on leave, maybe. If they behaved at the camp, they were allowed to come. If they didn't behave, they weren't allowed to come. And once a month only, or like maybe 2 days or 3 days, and go back. They learned how to wash. They had to wash their own clothes. They had to iron their own clothes, mend their own clothes. They had to do everything. They learned. I still got a piece of paper that I saved it from my brother. And when they died here, when they were asking them, they want to get a reunion of the CCs, it was in the paper, and the camp that he was in, a lot of that was the same boy that was asking him to go, and I still got that piece of paper I saved for him.
Now you said you worked at the Dahlia Farm, and then when you were 15 you went to Knott's Berry Farm. Did you have any other jobs?
At the school, our teacher's school.
What did you do?
I had a cafeteria, and I served. I didn't cook. They had the cooks for that. And they get like God, here they call me young. I was young, and Isabel Kalanga and I, she was from the Hawaiian Garden too, we'd walk to Artesia, and we worked at the WPA at the serving for the kids.
And you got paid for that?
Uh-huh. I think it was $25 a month.
How old were you?
I was about 17, 16. Yeah, 15, 16, in between like that.
That before you went to Knott's Berry Farm?
Oh, yes. Mm-hmm. And then I went to Knott's Berry Farm. Then I worked at Knott's Berry Farm, but not too long. But most of I did work for about a year, year and a half at the CC, at the school, mm-hmm. at the cafeteria. I was at WPA. Then that's when Roosevelt came in. And that's when the war broke out. That's when the boys were. Mm-hmm. And I was very sure before I went to work at the school, I worked at my aunt's and I worked at the Knott's Berry Farm. Then at the WPA, as after this, I worked at Knott's Berry Farm.
How did you know to get a job at Knott's Berry Farm?
Well, this friend of mine, when I told you we went to Fort Boston, and Boston was a job. Her last name is Maldonado. She says, oh, I got to work. I said, well, why? Well, I got to go hunt for a job. I said, I'll go with you. I was always a tomboy. So we walked to Knott's Berry Farm. She was going to pick berries. I said, not me. I said, I'm going to get me a clean job. I never did want a dirty job. I just, when they asked if she wanted to work, and She wanted to work at the picking berries. She said, I can eat all the berries I have. I said, well, you can go pick berries. I'm not going to go pick berries. So Mr. Nuts, he used to call her Black Eye. I said, you make a good waitress. He was the one that showed me how to be a waitress. Mr. Nuts gave me all, you know, how to handle, put the forks and knives and how to treat the people when they come in and how to talk to them, smile to them.
Did you like working there?
Oh, yes. But before, way before that, way before, I worked for a doctor at Lakewood. He was a teacher at Lakewood College, Mr. Palmer. He was a doctor. I worked for them at night, babysitting. But my dad would walk with me to the house, and I'd babysit, and he'd stay there with me. And he'd get his book and read while I babysit. And then when the Palmers came home, I'd walk home with them.
Were you always supervised?
Oh, yes.
Chaperoned, I guess.
Well, that's how it was raised. Yeah. Years ago, that's how it was. The Spanish people, I don't know about the man, but the Spanish people always had to have a chaperone. Mm-hmm. The only time we go is when I went with Baldonado's hunting for a job, then we had to have permission from her mother and dad. Mm-hmm. And I had to have permission from my dad. And then we couldn't walk with them unless we had a note.
Your parents wouldn't let you walk?
No, they wouldn't let me go out without having that given a note. Give us a note. My dad would always give us a note. I don't know how to be in that pocket all the time.
And what would the note say?
For it's an accident or something. My dad was just that type. To get in touch with him. Mm-hmm. All my brothers had it. I think mine is still one. The other day I found in the trunk. Still folded and it's yellow. The paper's still yellow. Mm-hmm. They were very, very strict. But I was chaperone, but I had a good time. Because my brothers had always managed I would have a good time. I behave myself and respect the boy, and the boy respect me. To this day, they can go to that little town I was raised in, and all the people say, you knew your mother for years and years ago. Mm-hmm. They can't say I went out with them or stayed with them. I always managed to go out with somebody that never, like I would tell them, my neighbor comes, goes and comes.
Why did you stop working at Knott's Berry Farm?
Why?
And go to the WPA.
Because they were asking people, so whoever wanted, they came to the house by house, and see how many in the family. And like I said, my dad and my mother were sick. They were sick. After they got over, they were still sick, you know, they weren't too healthy. And I figured, well, the boys are getting ready to leave because I'll be tired. It's war, war, war. And sooner or later, so I figured I'd just go out there and work, and I went to work.
Was it better money?
It was better money, and then it was much of a lot of money, but then with that little bit of money we made, we had enough to eat and had enough to get clothes. Because I remember the years ago, during the summer when I helped the boys topping wheat, topping sugar beet, they would only pay us 5 cents a row, and the rows are a long way. You extending South Street and clip to Spring Street, and that was long rows. And we get a hose and hose sugar beet.
When did you do that?
My uncle would pay us a spare time after
when
school.
When you were young?
Uh-huh, after school, so we wouldn't get into trouble. Or on the weekends. On Saturday, because Sunday we didn't do nothing on Sunday. My mother and my aunts would cook on Saturday and have everything ready for Sunday. They didn't do nothing on Sunday. We'd go to church and come home, lay around, read books, funny books.
Did you read much when you were young?
Well, no, because we didn't have enough money to buy a lot of books. We only had one, and then we all had a share. We all read the same one on top of the other. We had to share what we had. Take care of what we had. Like, we had one ball, we had to take care of that ball. We had the marbles, we had a little bag of marbles, we had to take care of those marbles, or we wouldn't get no more. They didn't go out crazy about buying a lot of stuff for Christmas or things like that. It's made at home. like popcorn or apples. Or I remember we never went to stores with my mother and my dad. Only maybe once in a great while, and then we had with my mother, and my dad was gone, but we had to stay in the wagon. Or if when we went from here to San Diego, my uncle would have his wagon and had one of the hired help. But we didn't have nothing to do with the hired help. The hired help would drive the horse to San Diego and then drive us back. And a lot of times we stayed on the ocean, so Oceanside, between Oceanside, and we sleep there at night, we hear the coyote.
Mm. You'd sleep out.
Mm-hmm. It'd take us a long time, because Torrey Pine used to go like that, top of a hill. And it took a whole day to get on top of that hill, and a whole day coming down the hill with a wagon. And then Oceanside was a river, and the road was at close to the ocean. I'll never forget that. We take our shoes, and right when we're going through the ocean, right when we were going through that river, we'd have our shoes with our feet touching the wall. My mother would bake, and in baskets we'd take our food with us.
You would go to San Diego for visits?
To Dad. To see Dad when he was working over there, when he asked us to go. Or it was only on holidays, or when we weren't going to school. If there was during the school days, we had to stay home with my uncle at that time. My aunt would take care of her, you know, her family, but then I would be with my brothers and they never harmed me. They took care of me, we worked together, kept the house clean.
Did you celebrate any Mexican holidays?
We started celebrating after we got big, but when we were kids, my dad never celebrated Mexican. My dad was more like a Spanish family, you know what I mean? They were like the Mexicans. That's the reason a lot of times they say, well, you're not a Mexican. A lot of, that's where most of my misunderstanding is now. I'll say, well, I'm a Mexican. No, you're not. Come right down to it and say, you're a Spaniard. But still, I was raised around the Mexican people, so I just come with South Mexican. But every time I hear some Mexican, really, which is real Mexican, they call themselves Spaniards. And I get on my nerves now and say, no, I'm a Mexican. But my dad was Spaniard.
Did he emphasize that? I mean, and say that he was Spaniard?
No, yes. For sure, he reminded us. And he was very well educated. But my brother didn't have a chance because of the war. Mm-hmm. And then when they got, I had one brother. He didn't come back, and he left in 1941. He didn't come back until 1956. Then he brought a wife from over there. Mm-hmm. He sent his wife home first. And then I had another brother.
Where was over there?
In Egypt. Mm-hmm. In Cairo, Egypt. He met this... she was in Egypt. She's a Greek. He lives in Lakewood. And the only one that's married to a Mexican is the one in Twitter. But my folks never allowed us to go around with Mexican. Mm-hmm. We went around, sneaking around. But my dad wouldn't allow us. Had to be always with the house. And when we rented the house, when it was starting getting bigger, when he took us close to where he was working during the summer, he'd always manage to get a house there for the white people. He never wanted to be in the Mexican district. I don't know why. But
how did that affect you?
It didn't affect us at all. Like I say, it didn't bother us. Years ago, you didn't notice those things. I didn't think I was better than the rest of them. The rest of them were better than I was. We were raped.